Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on, you can do better than that. God has been good.
Thank you, God.
I'm looking around and I can tell that God has been better to you. Amen. That the praise that you're giving him right now. Amen. Oh, come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is worthy. Come on and just tap somebody and tell them he's worthy. You don't have to just tap him gently and tell him he's worthy. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy. Hallelujah. 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 And we bless the Lord in this house today. Hallelujah. I just wanted to run a test. Amen. I just wanted to run a test. It sounded like, amen, that I was in the right place. And it looked like that I was in the right place. And now it feels like I'm in the right place. Come on, tap your neighbor and tell them you're in the right place at the right time, right now. God is about to do something. Amen. God is about to do something. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we bless the Lord on today, and we are so very grateful. And I am honored, amen, to just to be able to come to you today. As a pastor, I want to thank Pastor Armstrong for this wonderful opportunity to just to come and share a word with you, with his congregation today, from all the way, and from New Jersey. From New Brunswick, amen, amen. And this was one of the places that I became very familiar with very quickly, Trenton, New Jersey, because we do have our sister church down the way, greater, they say they're greater Mount Zion, but anyway, we know the greater Mount Zion is in New Brunswick, but we always mess with Reverend Justice. But I want to thank God for Pastor Armstrong just trusting the word of God that's in my belly. And the Spirit of God that's in me and that's on me and that's through me, that you would allow me, a stranger, amen, a person you don't know, but thank God for kindred spirits, that you would come and preach to your congregation today. And as a pastor, I think it's very important that we guard our sheep and that we protect their, what my husband would call their spiritual gates, your eye gates, the gates of your ears and the gates of your heart and your spirit, so that certain words don't go over you, certain things don't get in you. And so we have to be careful who we allow to come and speak over our congregation, over our sheep. And to be able to come today knowing very little about you and about your pastor and this wonderful family, I am honored and I'm grateful, and I want to thank you for this opportunity. I have to give a shout out to Sister Pam and Brother Jeff Houston, who always travels with me. So we give God all praise and honor and glory for them from Mount Zion. Y'all just wave at the people, amen. Brother Jeff always allows the Lord to use him to get me here safely. He's probably the only man that I try to keep my mouth closed when I'm in the car, and I'm always having to drive, whether I'm in the front or the back. I get on my husband's nerves, but Brother Jeff is teaching me how to be quiet. Amen. He's teaching me how to be quiet and helping me with my husband at the same time. And so I'm so very grateful. And then I just want to thank God for my husband. He is my number one. My number one friend, my number one representative, my number one cheerleader. And so I thank God for my honey, my baby, my boyfriend, my boo. Amen. And he's all that, but I won't keep going because I won't be preaching. I'll be trying to get on back to New Brunswick. Amen. So I'm just going to keep it right there. Keep it right there. Just keep it right there. Amen. There is a word from the Lord today. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57, and I will pray God's word over this continued word, and that he will continue to develop this word as I am prepared to preach it today. Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 57. This word says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And then another said unto the Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell, which are at my home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Come on and just ask your neighbor. Neighbor,
are you willing
to go the distance?
To go the distance?
Come on and ask your neighbor on the other side. Are you willing to go the distance? We have a whole lot of people, amen. We have a whole lot of people. We have a whole lot of people that declare, you may be seated, have a whole lot of people that they can, that think they can go the distance, amen. You know, we have a whole lot of people that claim, you know, they have that claim to fame, and you know they walk around with their Bibles in their hands, and they appear, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, they appear to be holy. Amen. But you catch them, you know, you catch them on a Monday through a Saturday. Amen. And you'll find out real quick. Amen. Whether they are holy or not. You know, they holy on Sunday. You know, they got the Sunday go to meeting clothes on. Amen. And they're all ready to get going. And, you know, they dress from head to toe. Amen. And when you speak to them, you know they're holy. Because when you speak to them, you know, they be like, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. They put a T on it. The Lord, woman of God, man of God. I mean, you know, they use all the right vernacular. They use all the right language. Amen. They say all the right things that make you feel good on the inside and make you think they're holy. But in the inside, they're really, literally, like the Word of God says, dead man bones. And in the Word of God, when we start talking about what God is doing and where God wants us to be in the body of Christ right now, there's a whole lot of stuff going on around us that would really make us think, you know, a second time about this this relationship, this religious relationship that we have with Jesus Christ called Christianity. Amen. Because the world really seems like, when you look around at it, it seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And it seems like what's happening is that the church, amen, we have become so churchified. And what I heard somebody say, we've become so heavenly bound that we are no earthly good. And we can't even tell somebody, amen, how to find Jesus. If we were to poll 10 or 20 or 40 people and ask them, do you know how to lead somebody to Jesus? Because the world, amen, has infiltrated in our hearts and infiltrated in our minds and told us, amen, there are many different ways that we can make it to the kingdom. We sometimes get caught up in that stuff, and we don't know which way to go, and we are challenged as children of God whether we are able to go the distance. Tap your neighbor and tell them, it's crazy out here, but I'm ready to hold on. Amen. I'm determined that nothing is going to keep me from going the distance. And I think I'm looking at the crowd, you know, sometimes my analogies don't really add up, and they don't meet up with this crowd. But I'm looking at this crowd, and I know that many of you, amen, in here before you got good and saved, amen. Y'all remember this song by Richard Dimplesfield. Anybody know, long time ago, y'all remember this song, Richard Dimplesfield? He said, if it ain't one thing, it's another. And he said, it's a crazy mixed up world. It's a doggy world. He said, life is full of strife. He said, people just aren't nice. Everybody, amen, is running game, running back on this and that. Raise your resentment, ask your discontentment. Folks messing with my mind. Make me a Frankenstein. Then he even goes and said, this woman, but can I say sometimes the man, hallelujah, by my side is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Sometimes, amen, the world, amen, the thing things that we go through. Obviously, Richard Dimples Fields had a lot going on in his life, and he had a lot, amen, that was pressing in on him to make him, amen, to make him say these words. And I believe it was even, Master P, he even said, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, because there are just so many things that are going on in our lives, and we're being tossed and turned to and fro, and we don't really know which direction God is taking us in. But the truth be told is that many of us, somebody say many of us, right here today who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who knows that he has delivered us, who knows that he has brought us out, who knows that he has made a way out of no way, who knows that he, amen, he has straightened up the crooked road for us, who knows that he has, amen, given us water in the wilderness, who knows, amen, that he has brought us out of situations that we knew that we couldn't get ourselves out of. Yet sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel. I just want to know if I have about 30 witnesses in here, that sometimes you just feel like throwing in the towel. Amen. And you just want to give up. You just want to give up. You just want to give up. And many of us, we resort, amen, instead of reading the scriptures to get our minds right, and instead of bowing on our knees to get our minds right, and instead of us meditating on the word, we start watching our favorite TV show that really causes even more havoc, like Scandal, amen, and Being Mary Jane, amen, and this recent thing, amen, called Empire, that I need to be delivered from, because I simply like Cookie and Honey, amen, and what's that, Boo Boo Kitty, amen. Tap your neighbor and tell him, God deliver the preacher from Boo Boo Kitty. God deliver the preacher, amen, from Cookie. I need some deliverance. I just want to know, are there any people in here that need to know that it's not, amen, in watching Scandal, and it's not in watching Empire, but we have to learn how to turn to the Lord if we are going to stay the distance. So it is true that life has its challenges, and oftentimes we think that we are up to the challenge, and we find out that we are not quite there. You remember the person whom you said that you would never let get you, that you would never let you get to your, allow you to get to your breaking point again. Everybody get that person in their mind. We've all had that person that you can't stand, amen. What we used to say in Texas, a little bit of gravy go all over your plate, amen. You can't even stand to be in the same room with them. And just when you think you have it all together, just when you think you are close enough to God, up jumps the devil, and before you know it, you've snapped, cracked, and popped on somebody, because they pushed you to the limit. They tried to make, amen, they try to pull you off your game. They try to help you, cause you to lose your focus, because you were determined that no matter what, you were going to stay with the Lord. Then you would come home, you would have to confess that you weren't as strong as you thought you were. You realize more and more work needed to be done. You realize that you needed to go back into the fiery furnace one more time. You realize, amen, that God is not through working things out on your behalf. In other words, you had received salvation. Somebody say, yeah, you were saved, but God was still sanctifying you. Am I talking to anybody in here? Am I talking to anybody here? When you first got saved, you know how it was when you first got saved. Amen. You did just enough for the city. Amen. You did just enough. Amen. You did just enough to make it in. But tap your neighbor and say, God wants to. He wants to progress. He wants there to be progress. You got to be an evolving Christian. You just can't be saved. Amen. But you got to start looking like Christ, acting like Christ, doing like Christ, being like Christ. And so in other words, you are maturing in Christ. He is still molding you and shaping you to become what he wants you to be. Through sanctification, we become rooted and grounded in the word of God. It helps us to be more consistent in the will of God. Sanctification, somebody say sanctification. It helps us to shed off the old and embrace the new. People begin to see that you really are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You no longer have to wear the big cross on your chest. You no longer have to walk around with the family Bible. that you need to leave at home because you're trying to convince somebody that you are a child of God. You no longer have to have that Bible. When God begins to sanctify you, we realize that we have moved past, amen, milk, and now we're on the meat of the word. You have learned how to stay focused on Christ, no matter how difficult the task may be. You've moved past the warm, fuzzy feelings of emotions, amen. Your priorities are now in order, and you are ready to sacrifice it all for the kingdom of God. You are now, somebody say, a gladiator. You are now a gladiator for Christ. Come will or what may, come hell or high water, nobody can pluck you out of the hands of God. And so when we look at our text, as I rush on, when we look at our text, we see that Dr. Luke is sharing his experience that three different men had as they were talking to Jesus. One was zealous. He moved by his emotions. He was turned up, amen, for Jesus. He was needy, amen. He was ready to go to be with Jesus. So he said at that time, the second man, amen, the other man, that we see he wanted to be a disciple, but he had his priorities out of order. According to scripture, his first priority was his sick or his soon to die father-in-law. He was called by God to preach, but he wanted to take care of his worldly affairs before his kingdom affairs. Tap somebody right there and say, she don't have time to unpack that, but I hope you got that. We are so caught up in trying to do good deeds, but we have forgotten to do what Christ has called us to do. We want to put it on the back burner and say we can get it later, but look at your neighbor and say, the right time is right now to do what God has called you to do. But the third man, he wasn't ready because he was still hanging between both worlds. Am I talking to anybody in the room today? He wanted to be with Jesus, but he also, amen, wanted the approval of other people who didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They weren't going anywhere. They weren't doing anything. They weren't, amen, they was in the same place all the time. They come in church, sit in the same spot, have the same old attitude. God keep on blessing them to wake up every morning in their right mind, breath in their body, amen, activity of their limbs. Yeah, they come in church on Sunday morning still full of hell because they haven't had an opportunity to sit down. They won't take the time to sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. And my sisters and brothers, if we were going the distance with Jesus, we must adopt the lifestyle that Jesus had. Let's examine the text a little bit closer. Jesus was at the end of his ministry assignment here on earth. He had completed the majority of what God had assigned him to do as a man. Somebody say a man. He was now facing Jerusalem. In other words, he was facing his death. He had set his face toward heaven to be offered up back to the Father. He had sent his disciples to go into the city to secure lodging for their stay in Jerusalem. Some opened their doors to Jesus and others did not. That's the same thing that happens today. Jesus comes knocking. We look at the people and say, it's Jesus, and we keep on going. The disciples, amen, they wanted to destroy those individuals who did not accept Jesus because they didn't give Jesus a place to lay their heads. Jesus says, no, I didn't come to destroy. He says, I came to save. Jesus was willing to go the distance in spite of the fact that people would open up their doors to him, in spite of the fact, amen, that people would turn their backs on him. Jesus was willing to go the distance. Wherever Jesus was, there was always those who wanted to follow him. His very presence called people to repentance. Let's go back to the three men that I spoke of earlier in the text. Let's see if they really are willing to go the distance. The first man in verse 57 says, I will go wherever you go. Jesus, somebody say Jesus. You do know Jesus, don't you? Jesus, knowing his heart, looked at him and said, brother, he said, I hear what you're saying. He says, but foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus, knowing his heart, made the man look at himself to see if he had what it took to go the distance. This man was zealous for Christ. He had watched him perform miracles, heal the sick, drive demons out of possessed individuals, change lives of those who wanted it, including his own, and he wanted to go with Jesus, but his emotions were at a 10. Look at your neighbor and say, you remember the first time you fell in love with Jesus? You remember the first time, amen, you gave your life to Christ? Nobody could beat you at Bible study on Tuesday or Wednesday night. Nobody could beat you at choir rehearsal. Nobody could beat you, amen, at prayer meeting. Nobody could beat you to church on Sunday morning, because your emotions were on a 10. Jesus knew his emotions would not sustain him. When difficult times come, and when they would soon come, Jesus, amen, knew that his emotions would not sustain him. Tell your neighbor, if you're going to go the distance, you can't go by all your warm feelings. You can't go by the little fuzzy feelings that you have on the inside. If you're going to go the distance, sometimes, amen, you're going to meet hell on the way. Sometimes it's going to get a little difficult. Sometimes it's going to get a little hard. Sometimes you're going to get stuck by the thorns that's on the roses. Oh, but Jesus does not want us to be moved by our emotions, but he wants us to be moved by our relationship with him. Do I have a yes in this house today? So he didn't need, amen. Jesus realizes when we are on this Christian journey, Jesus is not looking for a novice. He's not looking for a groupie. He's not looking for people to just show up and be in the picture. He's not looking for people to just say, I was there when it first happened. But he is looking for somebody that is willing to say, for God I live and for God I die. And nothing shall separate me from the love of God, God, which is in Christ Jesus. He needed those who would endure to the end. Beloved, to stay with Jesus, you must have more than an emotional relationship with Jesus. Because when the storms of life are raging, your emotions will make you throw in the towel. When the storms of life is raging, your emotions will make you quit. When the storms of life is raging, your emotions will make you give up. When the storms of life is raging, your emotions will make you run away. When the storms of life is raging, your emotions will tell you to turn your back on Jesus. When, amen, the storms of life is raging, your emotions will tell you to curse your God and die. I just want to know today, are you willing to go the distance? Are you willing to hang in there in spite of your emotions? So you can't go the distance. Tell your neighbor, that's point number one. You can't go the distance on your emotions. But not only that, you can't go the distance with messed up priorities. Tap somebody and tell them you got to get your priorities in order. God is calling, amen, for us to get our priorities in order. We serve an orderly God. We serve a God, amen, that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you never read anything in the Word of God where God did not prioritize things. He ordered the days of the weeks, amen. He ordered, amen. He ordered when the waters would be separated from the earth. He ordered when the heavens would be separated, amen, from the earth. He ordered, amen. He ordered when the moon would be placed in the sky. He ordered when the stars, amen, and the sun will be placed in the sky. He is a God of priority. The brother in verse 15 59 said. He says, Jesus, he says, follow me. He says, this brother said first. Jesus told him, he says, I want to follow you. But he said, but hold up, Jesus. That's what we do sometimes. We be like, oh, I know Jesus. Jesus is pressing on us and said, go now. And we said, but hold up, Jesus. I got to get my hair did. Amen. No. Friday at 10:30. Amen. That's my time. Amen. Friday at 10:30. I got to go. No, I can't do that. Jesus said, no, I want you to have a prayer meeting at Friday at 10:30. You be like, no, Jesus, I got my hair put. We always want to, amen, to put our other, amen, priorities in the way of doing what God has called us to do. And so this brother said first, somebody say first. That's where he made his first mistake. He says, let me go and bury my father. Jesus' response was cold. Some might even say that it was a little hard, or he was a little hard on the man. Undoubtedly, Jesus was grieving. Undoubtedly, the man was grieving his father's sickness and death. But at the time, he was Jesus. Can I say that again? I said he was grieving his father's death, but at the time he was with Jesus. I said he was grieving his father's death, but at the time he was with Jesus. Sometimes we miss Jesus. Jesus can be right in front of us. Jesus can be right there with us, but you are worried about what's going on at home. If your priority was right, we would realize that Jesus is all we need. Jesus, knowing his heart, too, said in verse 60, he says, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach to the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is saying people need to hear God's word right now. Tell somebody there is an urgency in the kingdom of God. We don't have time to go pack our clothes. We don't have time, amen, to put on our makeup. We don't have time to put on the right shoes to match the right suit. There is an urgency in the kingdom of God. People are dying. People need to hear a word from the Lord in this sick world that we're in right now. There is an urgency to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is saying, I need people to hear God's word right now. Not when we're finished taking care of our own worldly desires. Ministry is not convenient. Can I say it again? Ministry is not convenient. And most of the time when Jesus is calling us to do something, it is always at the wrong time in our book. But look at your neighbor and say, God is the one that ordains the time. He is the one that authenticates the time. And he is the one that lets us know when it's time to do the work of God. And so if we are to be followers of Christ, if we are to go the distance, we must get our priorities in order. The problem Jesus had with the brother is that he said first, let me go bury my father. Those of us who are called by God must seek him first, and everything else will be added unto us. Jesus is saying, I need you now. Are you willing to go the distance? High five somebody around you and say, are you willing to go now? Are you willing to go the distance? And third and finally, my brothers and sisters, I present this last part to you, that the third fellow just couldn't let go of his friends and his family. Somebody say, oh Lord. He couldn't let go of his friends and his family. I just shared with you that you can't go the distance on your emotions, and you can't go the distance with your priorities out of whack. But you sure enough, can't go the distance with God with every weight, amen, of the world on your shoulders. With folks, amen, let me look around the room for a minute. With Negroes and Shiros hanging on your back, amen. You can't go the distance, amen, when folks are speaking negative things in your ear. You can't go the distance when other folks don't understand the relationship that you have with God. But you're determined that you're going to go all the way. You don't have time to explain to them your worship. You don't have time to explain to them your praise. You don't have time to explain to them how you got over. You don't have time, amen, to go through the word of God word by word. You just got to go ahead and do what God has called you to do. Tap your neighbor and say, drop that person that's holding.
holding you back. Release that person that's holding you back, because God has a plan for you. And the word of God says it is plans for you to prosper. It is plans, amen, for you to have a good future. Get rid of that old stuff. Get rid of that baggage. Hallelujah, that's holding you down. Come on and tell somebody, you gotta let it go. Come on, tell them, let it go. You gotta let it go. You gotta trust God, and He will do the rest. Drop everything and run toward Jesus. I mean, He has everything we need. He has everything we've ever needed. God spoke to Abraham. He told Abraham to get out of your mom and daddy's house. Get away from those people that's holding you back. And I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. He built a tent. Amen. And he went on the way. He went the way God called him to do. And he built a tent to live in. So when God says, let's go, he pulled up the stakes. He pulled up that tent. And he moved by the power of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't move. You can't move going forward, looking back. In other words, we got to stop looking in the rearview mirror. We're looking in the rearview mirror to people that are not going to do anything for us. We're looking in the rearview mirror for people that are not going to pay one bill. They're not going to come in and say, how much are your bills this month? They're not going to say, how much is your child's tuition? We're looking at people and hanging on to people that are going to keep us in the same place. Oh, but how many of you all want to know that God is a progressive God? And every day when we get up, every day with breath in our bodies, every day He blesses us with the activities of our limbs. Every day He wakes us up and we're in our right minds. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go the distance. It may get hard sometimes. It may get bad sometimes. And I may not understand it, but I'm ready to go the distance. Do I have anybody in here? Hallelujah. That's willing to go the distance. I know you're able, because the same power that's on the inside of you was the same power that was on the inside of Jesus. And when Jesus, hallelujah, he had to suffer for us, he had to die for us, the word of God says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Tell your neighbor, say, if Jesus could suffer for me, if Jesus could die for me, if Jesus could be wounded for me, if Jesus could take away my sin, if Jesus could take away my pain, while I was yet a sinner, what more can I do for him? Get out of your seat and begin to give God praise. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I was feeling a little weak when I came in the house. I was feeling a little down. Didn't think I could make it. But I believe I'm going to go on and see what the end will be. Say yes. Say yes. Are you willing to go the distance? Are you willing to do what Jesus did? Are you willing to bear your cross? Are you willing to press your way when other people are trying to pull you back? Are you willing to move above the noise and let God have his way? Say yes. Say yes. Ooh, yeah. Jesus is there to help me. I'm so glad that Jesus has been my example. And because he got up, I can get up. He went all the way. I can go all the way. go the distance. Come on, oh, come on, come on, bless him, bless him. Oh, come on. Come on, bless him. Come on, bless him, bless him, bless him. Come on, bless him, bless him. Come on, grab somebody's hand and shake it real good. Shake it real good. Grab somebody by the hand. Shake it real good and tell them I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. Come hell or high water, I'm going all the way. No demon in hell can keep me from doing what God has called me to do. I'm ready to go the distance. Hallelujah.